It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. In the wake of the shooting deaths of 12 people at the offices of the French satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo, there has been a sharp rise in anti-Muslim sentiment in Europe and some here in the United States as well. It's been said that oftentimes Islam is on the defensive. But here in Pittsburgh, the Muslim community has been proactive in its approach to being a positive force in the Pittsburgh community. Here to discuss what Pittsburgh Muslims are doing to challenge the message of the extremists is Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. It's good to have you with us, Imam.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me in your show.
The killers in France, they say that they were vindicating the Islamic prophet Muhammad after he was depicted in satirical cartoons printed by the newspaper Charlie Hebdo. What is your reaction when you hear that rationale? We are defending the honor of Islam, therefore this violence is justified.
Well, first of all, let me just say that it's really great to be a Muslim in the city of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a great, unique city, very friendly city with kind-hearted and well-meaning people. To answer your question, they absolutely done nothing but destroying the image of our religion, destroying the reputation of our prophet, peace be upon him. You know, knowing the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, reading his biography, and I'm someone who studied Islamic study and the biography of the prophet, peace be upon him, for more than 15 years, you know. All I know about him is good things. All I know about him that he was a merciful prophet like any other prophet, like Abraham, like Noah, like Moses, like Jesus, like any other prophets. You know, one time he said that God gives with gentleness that which he does not give with violence. You know, when I hear something like that happens here in America or anywhere else, you know, I get really tired. You know, I feel like it's too hard. It's exhausting to keep defending our religion, to keep trying to reason, clarify to others that this is not our religion, that these people, they don't speak on behalf of our religion, they don't represent our religion before, now, or ever.
The executive director of the mosque was quoted in a piece by Peter Smith of the Post-Gazette as saying, quote, "Oftentimes Islam is on the defensive. We always tell people, we're not this, we're not that," end quote. I was going to ask you if there is a weariness among Muslims in the West, but you are clearly expressing that weariness. Is it as much with just exasperation over the violence of the extremists as it is having to defend Islam and perhaps your existence in the United States, if not in a city like Pittsburgh?
I agree with the statement that he made. I think Muslims, we should start telling people who we really are. You know, we should not keep telling people this is not us. We're not this. We're not that. We should actually start to educate people about who we really are. There's a lot of misconception about Islam here in Pittsburgh and also all over the world. You know,
what is the biggest one? What is the biggest misconception people have about Muslims?
For example, people don't know that that Allah, it's a word in Arabic, means God, and we're in an Abrahamic tradition. We just believe in the oneness and the unity of God.
People don't know that Allah means God?
Most of people, actually, they don't. They think it's some sort of a thing that Muslims have in their house, and it's exclusive in them. But we do believe in God. Allah is the God. It's the God of Abraham, Moses, the God of Jesus, the God of all the prophets, including Muhammad, peace be upon them. A lot of other misconceptions, you know, about the prophet himself, you know, that he was a violent person, that Islam spread with sword. And again, the Quran, for example, promotes violence. The Quran says kill people, this, that, or the other thing, you know. And I usually, when people ask me questions like that, I give them a Quran, really. I say, here's my scripture. Here's my holy book. Just take it, read it, you know, spend time with it. And if you find a verse that it says, kill innocent people in that book, I'll be the first one to leave this religion, really. But it's all misconception. And there's a lot of people also who are anti-Muslims who go around and talk ill about Islam, talk ill about Muslims. And there is also the paste and copy and paste approach. You know, people go and take a part of a verse in the Quran or something and say, here, this is what Muslims believe in. You know, take things out of context and say, here, this is what Muslims saying about us. You know,
do you ever counter that with, I could take something out of the Bible and say, this is what, you know, this sums up Christianity. This sums up Catholicism.
I mean, I think it's unfair to just.
But I'm saying can't any person do that? Take some aspect of someone's religion out of context and use that as an example for why this religion is bad or not as good as the religion that I'm a member of?
No, I don't think so. You know, I usually tell people, you know, if you read something in the Quran, if you read a text or a statement from our prophet, for example, and you don't really understand, I'd say that also to Muslims. If you read something and you don't understand it, you know, don't try to interpret it on your own. Just always go to people who have more knowledge. You know, people who spend actually time with the book, studied actually this Islamic studies and asked him about that. But copy and paste will never help.
What was your reaction when you heard about these satirical cartoons? There are the ones that Charlie Hebdo has put out there, and there are others, the famous Dutch cartoons, making fun of in a similar vein in which they've poked fun at other religions and other politicians that are poking fun or making fun of Islam or of the Prophet Muhammad.
You know, I think the religion in general, in any religion, it's an idea. You know, and I think my opinion is that it's fair to criticize any idea, including religion, including Islam. I think it's fair to criticize Islam. I think it's fair to examine the religion, but do it in a most civilized way. You know, if you don't believe in Islam, if you don't believe that the Prophet Muhammad was not a true prophet, if you don't believe that Islam was a right religion, just write an intellectual book about why do you think Islam is not the right religion? Why do you think Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a violent person? But to make fun of, to insult, to insult things that are really dear to people, I think that's the problem. You know, I'll say it right now, I was offended when I saw the cartoons, and I think I have the right to be offended. But I have the right also to respond accordingly and not to get physical. And this is what we teach people. Our prophet is just like any other prophets, you know. Like any other prophet, every time that you read the stories of the prophets in the Quran, they've been insulted, they've been made fun of, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God says in the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, "Wasbir ala ma yakunun." Be patient for whatever they say about you, for whatever they say about you, you know. And that's the prophetic, you know, teachings of the Quran and of our prophet. Just to be patient. There is a verse that says, "وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ." If you are patient, if you have righteousness, you hear foul things from people, but the core thing is just to be patient, you know. And we are in an age of mockery right now, you know. People make fun of everything, you know. They insult almost everything, you know.
So you were not surprised. You were not surprised by the outrage in the Muslim world over these cartoons.
I would say that I know how people would react, but again, we should not react physical at all. We should just follow how the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, how he dealt with things like that.
What is the best way to defend the honor of Allah?
And that's what I always tell people all the time. You, if you really want to honor our prophet, if you really want to honor, you know, his teaching, I know that one thing that Allah says in the Quran that he will defend the honor of his prophet. If you really want to honor the image of our prophet, just be patient, follow the prophetic teachings of our prophet, mercy, gentleness, forbearance.
And when you reference the Prophet Muhammad, you have another phrase that you say after that. Can you tell us the thoughts behind the use, your use of "peace be upon him"?
It's just something that we encourage to say right after we mention any of the prophet's names. So if I say Moses, I will say peace be upon him. If I say Abraham, I say peace be upon him. It's just to honor them. That's all.
Okay. Well, you know, we're learning as we go along, some of us here. We're talking about the reaction in Europe and in other parts of the world over the attacks at the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo, the reaction, the sharp anti-Muslim reaction that has been experienced certainly in parts of Europe and to some extent here in the United States. Talking with the imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, Sheikh Atef Maghoub. If you have a comment or question for him, you can join the conversation with Sheikh Atef Maghoub, imam of the Oakland Mosque, at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. Again, the number is 412-246-2002. We're coming up on a break, but this will give you some time to get the phone, if you're snowed in today or you just decided not to deal with the weather, this is an opportunity for you, if you're sitting home listening to the show, to take part in our conversation. Again, 412-246-2002. Before we go to break, Imam, can you comment on the anti-Muslim attacks in France occurring after the Charlie Hebdo attack? What do you think of the attacks and of the media coverage of those attacks?
Well, this is something also... personally, sometimes I feel really frustrated with how the media coverage on events like that. Most of the time when I look at the news channels, I see that they bring people who are not really expert in Islamic studies, people who have an Islamic background. Well, if you really want to ask people about Islam and about the teachings of Islam, the principles and the values that Islam hold, why don't you bring somebody who's actually more expert? And thank you so much for having me here, actually. Really, really appreciate it.
Seemed like the sensible thing to do.
Yeah. I just wanted also to say that gentleness and for forgiveness, forbearance are really evident in the character of our Prophet, peace be upon him. And this is one of the misconceptions of people have about Islam. One time the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Shouldn't I tell you about the qualities for God will grant you high places in paradise?" And then he said, "Treat the person who acts in an ignorant manner with forbearance. Forgive the person who oppressed you. Give to those who deprived you, and keep ties to those who cut you off." That's what we learn about our Prophet. Allah, for example, says in the Quran, if you forgive, it will be closer to forgiveness. Rabble the evil with what is better. So knowing all these things about our teaching in the Quran, about the teaching of our Prophet, peace be upon him, it's so sad to see some people who don't have knowledge of Islam or have a little bit of knowledge, just superficial knowledge about Islam, get provoked and agitated at some cartoonists, and they end up killing and claiming they were defending the honor of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. But believe me, they have done nothing but defaming him or his image. And as a result, Muslims all over the world are suffering from this senseless, violent act. For example, innocent people were killed, including Muslim camp. Islamophobia now is even more widely accepted. The hashtag kill all Muslims is all over the internet. Mosques, Islamic centers being attacked in France and elsewhere. Hate crimes against innocent Muslims were increased also in Europe. Even the cartoons they were worried about so much, now it's been published in millions of different papers. So they've done nothing really but destroying our image.
Our guest, again, is the imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, Sheikh Atef Maghoub, who is here discussing the backlash against the Muslim community in parts of Europe and common misconceptions about Muslims throughout the United States and here in Pittsburgh as well. You can join our conversation at 412-246-2002. Email is essspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at essspgh, hashtag EPLive. Let's go to the phones. We have Dennis in Pittsburgh who would like to comment. Dennis apparently could not wait any longer. So we will go to Jim in Bethel Park. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you pretty well. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to follow up on the comment of the Imam here concerning respect for religion. It seems to me that the issue of these cartoons is not an issue of freedom of press. We're free to say the thing we want, but that doesn't mean that we should disrespect basic tenets of a religion, such as depicting the image of God the prophet. There are thousands of ways of making a point of the irony of the violence of certain members of the Muslim faith without directly disrespecting the religion by placing the image of the prophet in cartoons. And then when that is done, what we do is we risk alienating the regular, moderate, peace-loving members of the Muslim faith.
Well, you raise a good point, Jim, and I guess the question for you, Imam, would be you had said earlier that you were offended by the cartoons in printed in Charlie Hebdo as well as obviously many other Muslims throughout the world. Do you still support, though, their right to print those cartoons? Is it still the right thing to do?
I don't think it's the right thing to do, but I don't have the power, or I will not, I will never, request for this cartoon to stop. But I think it's definitely not right. I agree with Jim about the things that he said. And we said that earlier, that, you can criticize an idea. You can criticize Islam. You can examine the religion. You can examine the Prophet Muhammad, but in a civilized way. You know, people have the right to do or to say whatever they want, you know. The one of our cherished rights is here in America is the freedom of speech, you know, the right to freedom of speech. And I think it's one of it's a beautiful testimony to our greatness, to the ideals of this country, to be able to say whatever you want, you know. And we know that a lot of people actually died to acquire these rights. But I also concern about other things, you know. We have some law in a country that here in America that prohibits people, for example, to insult other racially in public. You know, we have certain countries; they have certain laws for the denial of the Holocaust, for saying certain words to certain people, and all these things. So, like you said, we have the right to examine the religion. We have the right to criticize it, but do it in the most beautiful way. Not to insult people, not to make fun of them.
You're not saying that a newspaper, in this case Charlie Hebdo, or if say the Pittsburgh Post Gazette or the Pittsburgh Tribune Review had a cartoon that offended somebody. What you're saying is they shouldn't be prevented from printing it, but can't they find a better way to express?
Exactly.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Reverend Mark in Pittsburgh who wanted to join the conversation with Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh. Reverend Mark, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, and my question to him, number one, I just want to correct him as he's on the air. He's insulting my religion by saying that Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? All right. That's number one. Number two, there is a cartoon in Denmark.
Denmark.
It has nothing to do with Nigeria. I'm from Nigeria, southeastern Nigeria, the Igbo tribe. It has nothing to do with Nigeria. Then the radical Muslims begin to kill the Christians, which is my tribe, cutting their head off. Nobody hear about it. So what I want to tell you, when are you all the religion going to start teaching the young people the right thing to do? I never insult Muhammad. We never do that. Even though you say something about Jesus Christ or cartoon, we never go there for offensive or begin to causing a riot or causing to kill somebody. When are you, your religion, going to start teaching the young people to stop this violence in the world? and cutting people's head off. That's absolutely wrong.
Well, stay on the. But we appreciate what you're saying, Reverend Mark. Stay on the line. Let's let Imam respond to you and go ahead.
Again, those people, they don't represent our religion. They don't speak on behalf of our religion. Not now, not before, not ever. Our religion promotes peace like any other religion. Our prophet was as merciful as the other prophets. And what we teach people in an Islamic center is our true faith. And everybody is welcome to come and join us. We have Friday services at 1 p.m. every Friday. We get like 600 or 700 people who attend the service. We have also Islam 101 on Sundays. We have Help for the Convert on Saturdays. And we have also educational circles during the week. Everybody's welcome to come and join us and see what we teach.
So what about what the imam is saying, Reverend Mark, in terms of specifically his point that the violent extremists do not speak for the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh? They do not speak for the Islam that he represents.
Okay, we understand that. But why can't they reach out to those Islamists? What we are asking them.
You're saying reach out
to them and teach them the word that this is what your religion
represents. We're talking about thugs. We're talking about criminals who are actually considering me as an infidel. Those people actually consider me. They don't consider me a Muslim. They consider me as an infidel. They killed hundreds and thousands of people in Iraq. They beheaded them who are Muslims. They did the same thing in Syria as well. So they also kill Muslims too, and the number is actually more than people from different traditions.
Reverend Mark, do you understand his point that he can't reach out to them?
Yes, I do. Yes, I understand. I know where he's coming from.
Okay.
At the same time, I believe that all of us can work together. I thank God for being here in the United States.
Absolutely.
I thank God for that, and also I thank God for you. Well, and if we all can begin to work and fight these extremist people, murdering people, especially the third world, Africa, I think we can get to the point to confront them.
Well,
when the other religion keeps silence and don't want to come out and let it be the only Christians, then we cannot achieve anything. So I would appreciate you that you come out. So all of us can work together and confront these people. I don't want to see anybody's head cut off. I've been in the Biafran Nigerian war. You know about it. And when all many things have been happening during that period of time, and when other Muslim countries like Egypt, Sudan, and Cameroon, all of them joined together with Nigerian Muslims to fight the Easterners, and really we suffered a lot of injury. So I believe that we can make this world be a better place for every one of us.
That's a great sentiment to end on, Reverend Mark. Thank you for the call.
I would like to take the opportunity and also invite Reverend Mark to our Islamic Center anytime who can come and we can sit and talk and we see how we can actually work together in that.
That would be a great thing, and that's I think what we're all trying to promote here. Let's take another question from Ted in Mount Washington. Ted, welcome to Central Pittsburgh. You're on with Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh.
Hey, salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Real quick, I'd like to ask a couple questions. I'd like to know, what is Sharia law? And number two, what are the five pillars of Islam? And number three, what is the attitude of young Muslims? It seems like to me, especially in Europe, there's a lot of frustration when it comes to employment, when it comes to identity, and also when it comes to even getting proper instruction with Islam as far as a religion. What's the attitude in Europe with young Muslims?
Okay, well, Sharia law is actually, it's about purifications. It's about how we treat people, how we treat your neighbors, how we treat your guests. It's about how to pray, how to purify your inner self, your soul, how to purify your body in order to pray, how to fast, how to go and perform the pilgrimage. That's actually the Sharia law. And while people actually get scared when they heard the word Sharia law, they think Sharia law is about killing, it's about cutting off heads, about cutting off hands. And this is absolutely, it's not it's not what the Sharia law about. Sharia law is just a way of life. It's when I get up in the morning and try to please God and how to please God by praying, by fasting, by treat people well. That's the Sharia law. The five pillars of Islam, number one is what we call it shahada, is to testify that there is no God but God and Muhammad is his messenger and slave. Number two is to fast. Number three, to fast a month of Ramadan. Number three is to pray. Number four, and pray five times a day. And number four is the zakah or the charity that you have to pay. And also the pilgrimage, the journey to Saudi if you're capable, physically and financially capable to do. What was the third question? I'm sorry.
He was asking what are you teaching younger Muslims? And that was a question I was going to ask earlier, is what is the message you're trying to get across to young people?
This is very important. Most of the people that join ISIS from different places in the world, especially in Europe, especially in the UK, those people don't know too much about their religion. They have a little bit of knowledge about their religion. There's two people actually from the UK who were caught before traveling to Syria. They were actually the last thing they found out that the last thing they bought online was Islam for Dummies. I mean, that's how they get their information from. I mean, I'm trying to say that this is really superficial, you know, knowledge about Islam. So my message to the young people is to try to learn from educated, knowledgeable people. Try to get the true knowledge. Go to the mosque. Don't go online and search for these people. We try to teach him what the Quran says. We try to tackle every misinformation about Islam. We try to teach him about our prophet and the truth about our prophet. That's what we're trying to do here in America.
You say several young people at the mosque here in Pittsburgh, in Oakland, that you say that they have told you they've never seen or been sent any of the videos or other online propaganda being produced by groups such as the Islamic State?
I teach on Saturday and Tuesday. I teach every day, but one of the biggest class is on Saturday. I get around, between 80 to 100 people. 90% of the people who attend my classes are young people, and I know exactly how to inform them about my religion and how to keep them away from all these radical ideas and all the wrong path and all the things that they hear in the media and all the things that they hear also from ISIS or ISIL or all these terrorist groups. You know, we teach them about our religion, the truth of our religion.
Do these extremist groups, are they trying to reach out? Do they try to go online and say, here's someone who identifies themselves as a Muslim. I'm going to try to radicalize them.
And actually, that's what they do. That's what they do. You know, they don't go to mosques. They use the internet in order to attract people to their ideas.
412-246-2002. Before we break, we'll take one last question here from Roger in Bellevue. Roger, if you can go quickly.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, and I can't hear you for whatever reason, so I'll try to be brief. I'm on my car. With our issues in the United States with, civil rights issue, the South really had a problem, and especially with the KKK, and it's really up to the people in the community, and in our case, we had to get the FBI into, enforcing civil rights. And so at some point, should fellow Muslims be addressing these extremist groups and dealing with that head on? And again, I can't hear you, so I'll ask you my other question. I'll hang up. I think there's a problem, not just Muslim world, but the world in general, with young, aggressive men. You can look in Africa, you can look in the United States, you can look anywhere. I don't get off the line, but I can't hear a thing.
Okay, all right, Roger, thank you. And I'll tell you what, were you able to hear what he was saying? He was asking about Muslims being in the front lines to stop the extremists. That much I got from him. And I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll hold that thought. We do need to take a break, but we will continue the conversation, and we will take more calls at 412-246-2002. 2002. For our guest, Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.
And you're listening to Essential Pittsburgh during our winter member campaign. I'm Larkin Page Jacobs, joined by Erica Barris, and we're asking you to call now and become a member. 412-697-2955-WESA.FM. As with other strong nonprofit organizations in Pittsburgh, WESA is funded with voluntary contributions that range from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. We're asking you to choose the amount that fits your budget and reflects the value 90.5 WESA adds to your life. Whether that's $10, $15, or $100 a month, it'll maintain this trusted and independent source for news and information. But you do have to pick up the phone and call to get the ball rolling. 412-697-2955.
And just think, what if you had an extra $500? One lucky WESA listener will have the opportunity to answer that question. We're giving away a $500 gift card for Amazon, and you can be automatically entered to win just by donating today. The contest ends Saturday at 1 p.m. when we wrap up this year's winter membership drive. Do your part to support Pittsburgh's NPR news station, your source for what happens locally, nationally, and globally. Become a member today by calling 412-697-2955 or give at WESA.FM, and you could be our lucky winner of the Amazon gift card.
As a 90.5 WESA listener, you're part of a community of people who share curiosity about the world. Today, we're asking you to share the cost of bringing WESA to your radio. Give $60, give $5,000, or give something in between. We'll use that money to ensure 90.5 WESA stays on the air and is available for all. 412-697-2955, WESA.FM.
We get a large percentage of our money from listener contributions. We have a goal this hour, 10 calls or clicks, 2 in, 8 to go. Help us stay on track. This pledge drive, help us stay on track. We're accountable to you. We're not accountable to Wall Street or Madison Avenue or Capitol Hill. And because of that, we can bring you clear, concise, and objective news coverage. 412-697-2955, WESA.FM.
First-time members are important because 90.5 WESA is a grassroots organization. Some money comes from the federal government, but it's the financial support from listeners who become members, sustainers who give just $5 or $10 per month that add up to the most important portion of our operating budget. Please, won't you step forward and be counted? Decide how much this station is worth to you. Put a monetary value on that and then make that your pledge of support today. 412-697-2955-WESA.FM.
Now, news and information is presented in a fair and balanced way. Integrity is at the heart.
Criticize it, but do it in the most beautiful way. Not to insult people, not to make fun of them. You know,
you're not saying that a newspaper, in this case Charlie Hebdo, or you know, if say the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette or the Pittsburgh Tribune Review had a cartoon that offended somebody. What you're saying is, they shouldn't be prevented from printing it, but can't they find a better way to express?
Exactly.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Reverend Mark in Pittsburgh who wanted to join the conversation with Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh. Reverend Mark, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Yes, thank you. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you.
Yeah, and my question to him, number one, I just want to correct him as he's on the air. He's insulting my religion by saying that Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? All right. That's number one. Number two, there is a cartoon in Denmark.
Denmark.
It has nothing to do with Nigeria. I'm from Nigeria, southeastern Nigeria, the Igbo tribe. It has nothing to do with Nigeria. Then the radical Muslim begin to kill the Christians, which is my tribe, cutting their head off. Nobody hear about it. So what I want to tell you, when are you all, your religion, going to start teaching the young people the right thing to do? I never insult Muhammad. We never do that. Even though you say something about Jesus Christ or cartoon, we never go there for offensive or begin to causing a riot or causing to kill somebody. When are you, your religion, going to start teaching the young people to stop this violence in the world? and cutting people's head off. That's absolutely wrong.
Well, stay on the. We appreciate what you're saying, Reverend Mark. Stay on the line. Let's let Imam respond to you and go ahead.
Again, those people, they don't represent our religion. They don't speak on behalf of our religion. Not now, not before, not ever. Our religion promotes peace like any other religion. Our prophet was as merciful as the other prophets. And what we teach people in the Islamic Center is our true faith. And everybody is welcome to come and join us. We have Friday services at 1 p.m. Every Friday, we get like 600 or 700 people attend the service. We have also Islam 101 on Sundays. We have Help for the Convert on Saturdays. And we have also educational circles during the week. Everybody's welcome to come and join us and see what we teach.
So what about what the imam is saying, Reverend Mark, in terms of specifically his point that the violent extremists do not speak for the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh? They do not speak for the Islam that he represents.
Okay, we understand that. But why can't they reach out to those Islamists? What we are asking... reach out to them and teach them the word that this is what your religion
represents. We're talking about thugs. We're talking about criminals. They're actually considering me as an infidel. Those people actually consider me. They don't consider me a Muslim. They consider me as an infidel. They killed hundreds and thousands of people in Iraq. They beheaded them who are Muslims. They did the same thing in Syria as well. So they also kill Muslims too, and the number is actually more than people from different traditions.
Reverend Mark, do you understand his point that he can't reach out to them?
Yes, I do. Yes, I understand. I know where he's coming from.
Okay.
At the same time, I believe that all of us can work together. I thank God for being here in the United States.
Absolutely.
I thank God for that, and also I thank God for you. Well, and if we all can begin to work and fight these extremist people, murdering people, especially the third world, Africa, I think we can get to the point to confront them.
Well,
when the other religion keeps silence and don't want to come out and let it be the only Christians, then we cannot achieve anything. So I would appreciate you that you come out. So all of us can work together and confront these people. I don't want to see anybody's head take cut off. I've been in the Biafran Nigerian war. You know about it. And when many things have been happening during that period of time, and when other Muslim countries like Egypt, Sudan, and Cameroon, all of them joined together with Nigerian Muslims to fight the Easterners, and really who have suffered a lot of injuries. So I believe that we can make this world be a better place for every one of us.
That's a great sentiment to end on, Reverend Mark. Thank you for the call.
I would like to take the opportunity and also invite Reverend Mark to our Islamic Center anytime, who can come and we can sit and talk and we see how we can actually work together in that.
That would be a great thing, and that's I think what we're all trying to promote here. Let's take another question from Ted in Mount Washington. Ted, welcome to Central Pittsburgh. You're on with Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh.
Hey, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Real quick, I'd like to ask a couple questions. I'd like to know, what is Sharia law? And number two, what are the five pillars of Islam? And number three, what is the attitude of young Muslims? It seems like to me, especially in Europe, there's a lot of frustration when it comes to employment, when it comes to identity, and also when it comes to even getting proper instruction with Islam as far as a religion. What's the attitude in Europe with young Muslims?
Okay, well, Sharia law is actually, it's about purifications. It's about how you treat people, how you treat your neighbors, how you treat your guests. It's about how to pray, how to purify your inner self, your soul, how to purify your body in order to pray, how to fast, how to go and perform the pilgrimage. That's actually the Sharia law. And what people actually get scared when they heard the word Sharia law, they think Sharia law is about killing, it's about cutting off heads, about cutting off hands. And this is absolutely it's not what the Sharia law is about. Sharia law is just a way of life. It's when I get up in the morning and try to please God and how to please God, by praying, by fasting, by treat people well. That's the Sharia law. The five pillars of Islam, number one is what we call shahada, is to testify that there is no God but God and Muhammad is his messenger and slave. Number two is to fast. Number three, to fast a month of Ramadan. Number three is to pray. Number four, and pray five times a day. And number four is the zakah, or the charity that you have to pay. And also the pilgrimage, the journey to Saudi, if you're capable, physically and financially capable to do it. What was the third question? I'm sorry.
He was asking what are you teaching younger Muslims? And that was a question I was going to ask earlier, is what is the message you're trying to get across to young people?
This is very important. Most of the people that join ISIS from different places in the world, especially in Europe, especially in the UK, those people don't know too much about their religion. They have really a little bit of knowledge about their religion. There's two people actually from the UK who were caught before traveling to Syria. They were actually the last thing they found out that the last thing they bought online was Islam for Dummies. I mean, that's how they get their information from. I mean, I'm trying to say that this is really superficial, you know, knowledge about Islam. So my message to the young people is to try to learn from educated, knowledgeable people. Try to get the true knowledge. Go to the mosque. Don't go online and search for these people. We try to teach him what the Quran says. We try to tackle every misinformation about Islam. We try to teach him about our prophet and the truth about our prophet. That's what we're trying to do here in America.
You say several young people at the mosque here in Pittsburgh, in Oakland, that you say that they have told you they've never seen or been sent any of the videos or other online propaganda being produced by groups such as the Islamic State?
You know, I teach on Saturday and Tuesday. I teach every day, but one of the biggest class is on Saturday. I get around, like, I would say between 80 to 100 people. 90% of the people who attend my classes are young people. And I know exactly how to inform them about my religion and how to keep them away from all these radical ideas and all the wrong path and all the things that they hear in the media and all the things that they hear also from ISIS or ISIL or all these terrorist groups. You know, we teach them about our religion, the truth of our religion.
Do these extremist groups, are they trying to reach out? Do they try to go online and say, here's someone who identifies themselves as a Muslim. I'm going to try to radicalize them.
And actually, that's what they do. That's what they do. You know, they don't go to mosques. They use the internet in order to attract people to their ideas.
412-246-2002. Before we break, we'll take one last question here from Roger in Bellevue. Roger, if you can go quickly.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, and I can't hear you for whatever reason, so I'll try to be brief. I'm on my car. With our issues in the United States with, like, civil rights issue, you know, the South really had a problem, and you know, and especially with the KKK, and it's really up to people in the community, and in our case, they had to get the FBI into, you know, enforcing civil rights. And so, at some point, you know, should fellow Muslims be addressing these extremist groups and dealing with that head on? And again, I can't hear you, so I'll ask you my other question. I'll hang up. I think there's a problem, not just Muslim world, but the world in general, with young, aggressive men. You can look in Africa, you can look in the United States, you can look anywhere. I don't get off the line, but I can't hear a thing.
Okay, all right, Roger, thank you. But let's go to the phones where Justin in Pittsburgh has been waiting. Justin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Yes, go ahead. You're on with the Imam, Sheikh Atef Magoob.
All right. Good afternoon, and with all due respect, assalamu alaikum to the Imam.
Thank you.
I have a question concerning how this radical group chose the name ISIS, considering that ISIS is a god or in the pantheon of the Kemetic spiritual teachings, along with how people view Jesus as a prophet in the Muslim religion, yet in the Christian religion they view him as the son of God, and also the correlation between how in the Kemetic spiritual teachings, you know, Jesus would be equivalent to Heru, and just in that type of vein, do either religions recognize their connection to the Kemetic spiritual sciences of ancient Egypt? I've done some study myself, and those are some things that I've come across, especially why did they choose ISIS, considering her position.
Okay, well, that's a lot you've just thrown at our guest. Imam, go ahead and try and tackle that.
A group like ISIS or ISIL, they would try everything in order to make it attractive to people, calling themselves the Islamic State, calling themselves the Caliphate, calling themselves whatever they want, you know. But, you know, the true Muslim or people who are like studying Islam, people who are also teaching Islam, they know for sure that there is nothing Islamic about what's happening overseas. There's nothing Islamic whatsoever about what's happening, the beheading of people, the killing of innocent people. You know, as a matter of fact, when I watched this lady, this poor lady on CNN a couple of months ago when they killed her son, she came in the news and she said, well, I study Islam in Sunday school. I go to a mosque nearby and I study Islamic studies. And I know that the Quran, it says, you know, one soul is not responsible for what others do. And my son didn't do anything. If you're holding him because you think of the what's happening overseas, or what do you think it's happening overseas, my son has nothing to do with it. You know, and your Quran says that, you know, that one soul should not pay for what others do. She talked about, you know, how the Prophet Muhammad, people fought him in battles for 23 years. When he went back to Mecca, his own town, after he was after they drove him out of the of his city, when he came back as victorious, he let everybody go. He was they asked him, what are you going to do to us? He said, what do you think I'm going to do to you? They said, we think of you as a noble man and a son of a noble man. And he said, you're free to go. He didn't ask them to, you know, look at you, look at my position. Now I have the upper hand. You know, he didn't tell them, you have to be Muslim in order to for me to forgive you. He just told them, you're free to go. You're free to go. If you want to live here, stay with us. If you want to leave, it's absolutely up to you. So there is nothing Islamic whatsoever about what's happening. You know, this lady, for me, she actually has more knowledge of Islam, more than the people who are claiming that they're defending Islam.
You're saying that the mother of the hostage who was executed was
more
knowledgeable than her captor, captors.
Yeah, more educated about Islam than those people. You know, the other part of the question. This is just our creed. We believe in the unity of God. We believe in the oneness of God. We believe that believe in all the prophets. We consider Abraham and Noah and Moses and Jesus and Muhammad is the best of all the prophets. That they are we call them in the Quran ulul azm, people who had who bore a lot of hardships with their followers. We consider Jesus in a very high position, put him in a very high position. You have to believe in him. If you're a Muslim, you have to believe in Jesus. And, you know, as Muslims in Pittsburgh also, we value our relationships with other communities. We've come together in a number of initiatives to bring about positive changes in our communities, about the social changes in Pittsburgh and beyond as well.
Well, this would be a good time to ask, what happens at the Oakland Mosque? For people that are wondering, there's the Islamic Center, there's a mosque, there's a presence there. Someone might wonder, what do they do there? So, I'll throw that question at you.
Sure. And after this incident, actually, we had a lot of guests, a lot of people.
The Charlie Hebdo.
Yes, we had a lot of people received a lot of requests also from churches and from professors in the schools.
Requesting
to come to the Islamic Center for a tour and for an educational class about Islam and what the things that they're saying about you, is it true or not? What is the true Islam? What is your principles? What are the values that you hold? We just get individuals who come to our services and they sit and they come to me and they ask me questions about my faith, you know. So we've been receiving a lot of requests like that after this incident. You know, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but you know, there's this idea you hear in the United States sometimes. Some people say that, well, we are a Judeo-Christian country, a Judeo-Christian nation, and they express resentment of a Muslim presence. And we've certainly heard this in Europe. In Germany over the weekend, there were people protesting as they put it, forgive me, the Islamification of Germany, as they called it. Even though here in the United States, we do not have a state-sanctioned religion, what is your reaction when you hear people say, you know, we don't want this Muslimification of our world?
Look, we're Muslims, I don't think, here or anywhere, especially here in the States. I don't think Muslims here in the States are trying to take over anything. We're just your average neighbor. You know, we are just normal human beings who go to work, who raise our children. We're not trying or planning for anything. We love America as anybody else. You know, I always tell people we're blessed. Seriously, honest to God, we're blessed to live in a country like America, where our identity as American and our identity as Muslims can coexist without conflict. You know, our the most fundamental tenet of Muslim believers believing in one God is guaranteed and protected by the United States Constitution as the right of freedom of religion. None of our five pillars of Islam, which our religion is built upon, go against or conflict with the law of the United States. We live in a land where we have complete freedom to practice our religion, to build our bases of worship, and to fulfill our obligations as Muslims. We're not trying to take over anything, you know. We're just trying to live our lives, really.
Jan on Twitter asks, do all Muslims identify as Shiite or Sunni? Explain the differences.
The difference is actually historical. We believe in the same pillars, the same fundamentals. The same foundations of Islam. Sunnis, I think, they are 80 or 85% of the Muslim population all over the world. So the difference is just historical. We believe in everything that the Shias believe in. And I'm a Sunni, and I have also friends who are Shia. I have imams who are Shias, and people who actually come to my services that are Shia, and they are also welcome to our mosque for sure.
And this, what happens at the mosque, an important point I think to make is that there have been community outreach efforts that the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh has engaged in long before these atrocities that occurred earlier this month. Talk about those and talk about the conscious effort that you've tried to make in Pittsburgh to distance yourself from the extremists.
We have a very, very active outreach coordinator. I'm sure that she's listening to us right now. Her name is Julie Webb. Sister Julie has been doing a great job in outreach work with Christians and Jews, faith communities. And I also wanted to say, not just to clarify. Go ahead.
No. I just okay. I'm giving you a time cue there.
just to clarify, we have really strong relationships with other faith communities here in Pittsburgh. We have been really active. We are active in social issues like education reform, like public transportation reform, like gun violence, many more issues that impact us all, Muslims and non-Muslims. We also have the we bring people from different communities to come to our mosque and try to clarify to them, try to teach each other about actually our religions. Last week, just on Saturday, we had a group of, I think, 40 or 50 women from different traditions who came to the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh to actually learn and to get together in order to build a very strong community.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for sharing all the information that you did with us. Roger, to your question, we weren't blowing you off, but I think that our guest answered that about being proactive in confronting the violent factions of Islam. Sheikh Atef Maghoub, Imam of the Oakland Mosque of the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, thank you so much for being our guest today on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.